I remember when like kids would play house, I was like, I'll be the dog.
Yeah.
I've always related very heavily to dogs. I love dogs so much. And so getting to embody one is fun. Like, I get head scratches. I get to like do tricks for treats. And
welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Hi, sweets. Welcome back to Sweet Release. I'm Barbie Jean, your host, and today I have Roxy here with me.
Hello.
Hi. I don't
know where to look. You can look wherever. Thank you so much for being here. I've been really looking forward to getting to know you.
Thank you for having me. I've been super excited about this, too.
Yay. Yeah. You have had a struggle with like self-love, and you've definitely have a lot to share about that journey.
Yeah, definitely.
And you also have a lot of self-discovery that you've done and lots of really unique kinks that I'm personally interested in exploring. So I'm excited to just kind of dive into that. But first, could you open up a little bit about like what your journey's been like with self-love and kind of, share a little bit about that with us to start.
So I don't really know like where to start on that, but I've been a very like insecure and introverted person for a very long time. And I would really say, honestly, these last few years specifically, I've definitely like kind of discovered like how to love myself more. And I think honestly, a really big contributing factor to it has been the kink community. It has helped me a lot, like finding myself and the friends that I've made and the people I've met in the community. I think I've met all of my partners through kink avenues some way or another. And I'm very, very grateful and fortunate for the partners I have in my life. And a lot of my self-love journey has also been attributed to like my mental and physical health. And I mentioned to you that I had I think 2 years ago now, I had a gastric sleeve surgery. Because I was almost like 400 pounds and I had a lot of, health issues that attributed to my weight and help and like made me gain weight. And my weight was like affecting my health issues too. And that whole surgery, like really changed like my perspective on life. And then also I had a hysterectomy recently and that's also been like a really big stepping stone for me. It's really, really, really helped me like, kind of reclaim my body in a way.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack there.
Yeah, a lot.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you about all of this because I think it's such a healing journey that you've been through and can help a lot of people in similar situations. You. Could you explain what the gastric sleeve surgery is and how that like changed your life?
So the gastric sleeve surgery, they basically like cut open your stomach. There's a couple different kinds. I had the gastric sleeve. But there's also like the bypass and the duodenal switch. But I had the sleeve and that's where they basically take your stomach and they cut it to it. So it's like the size of like a banana. And, it's really intense, for like 2 or 3 weeks before the procedure, you're on like a strictly liquid diet. And, same thing for the first week or two after the surgery, you're on a strictly liquid diet. And then you like are slowly relearning how to eat food and how to digest food. And it was very hard because I also had a very unhealthy relationship with food, but it's really, really helped me like learn how to eat intuitively. It honestly has repaired my relationship with food a lot. I know that a lot of people don't have that same sentiment, but that's been super, very helpful for me. I've lost, 180 pounds in the last 2 years.
Wow, good for you.
Thank you.
That I feel like it makes you, like you said, it's kind of like becoming more aware of what you're eating and kind of changes your relationship with it.
I agree. And something that I always try to stress to people is I didn't get the surgery because I was fat. I was, I think a very big part of my self-love journey before the surgery was learning how to love myself in my body and like learn how to a very hard thing that I had to learn was to be grateful for my body for what it does for me. I didn't have to necessarily love what I saw in the mirror, but I learned how to be grateful for my body first.
That's such good advice. I feel like being grateful is like step one to self-love.
I agree. I think that's always what I tell people. Like it's, you're not going to love yourself overnight, but you got to learn how to respect yourself and treat yourself with kindness. And then I think the self-love follows.
Mm-hmm. I've mentioned a lot when people are on that self-love journey, talking like about affirmations and kind of reframing that negative self-talk. Is that something that worked for you, or do you have any tools that helped?
Yeah, definitely. Something I did for a while is I really tried hard to find something I liked about myself every day to compliment myself on in like the mirror.
Your hair is amazing. Yeah.
Thank you. That was actually something that really affected me, the surgery, because you don't get proper nutrients afterwards. You're supposed to be on vitamins for the rest of your life. And with the rapid weight loss that happens after the surgery, I actually lost like so much hair. I lost like half of my hair and I was so scared I was going to lose all of it, but
part of the journey, yes. I guess. Yeah. Wow.
Yes, definitely.
There's so many, I feel like there's such a diverse, now people that there are more like overweight people as models now. And I feel like it is kind of shifting the way we view our bodies. Have you sensed that in a way with like the media?
Definitely. I do think so. A perspective that a lot of people seem to have on having like the gastric sleeve surgery is that it's the easy way out. And I very heavily disagree with that. I think it's such an intense body modification, and it definitely was not easy. Like I was in a lot of pain for a very long time, and there's still like a lot of things I can't do and like things that I have to be like mindful of. Like I can't drink too much water too fast. It'll make me nauseous. And like there's certain foods that just don't sit well in my stomach anymore. I'm very fortunate and I don't have a lot of the same effects that a lot of people have. Like there's a lot of people who can't even eat like sugar or anything without getting sick. And I'm fortunate that I don't have that, but some people say it's a good thing because then they're like, well, I can't eat the candy now.
It's a little silver lining.
Yeah.
What about the hysterectomy? What made you?
So I've never wanted kids. Everybody told me I'd change my mind, but I've never wanted kids. I always said that if I wanted kids, I wanted to adopt. And I'm very fortunate that my wife has a daughter. And so I'm a stepmom and I love being a part-time mom. I love being a part-time mom. But I also had a lot of chronic pain and issues around my period. And so that's what gave me like that's what qualified me to be able to get the surgery. And so my OBGYN was like, well, if you don't want kids, we just take it out.
So, and that I'm sure was a healing. Yes. Oh my God. Yes, like two one. Invasive surgeries.
Yeah. They were both laparoscopic. So I have like a bunch of little scars on my stomach from like the surgeries. But I love them. I love my little scars. I love them.
Yeah, they make you unique and beautiful in your own way.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's good to embrace that part of you.
Yeah. And then I actually argued with my surgeon because I wanted to keep my uterus. Like I wanted to keep it as a specimen. And they were like, no, we have to send it to the pathology lab for testing. And so I actually wrote a whole letter claiming or asking for a religious exemption. And I never specified my religion. I'm a Satanist. And so something that's very important to me in Satanism is bodily autonomy. But I didn't want to write in my letter that I'm a Satanist and have them like, you know,
judge.
So I expressed that the importance of bodily autonomy for me and that I didn't want to give up this part of my femininity. And like I said that I don't want to be buried without my uterus. And so they were able to make that exemption for me.
So you have it?
Yes, I have it in a little jar I have an altar at home. I have it on my altar. They actually gave me my uterus with my IUD too.
Oh my God, you can see it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good place to put it. Is that where you like, you know, say how what you're grateful for, the altar? Like,
yeah, I definitely, when I'm going through like a hard time or a rough time, I definitely light my candles. Or like if I feel I need like a little extra help from like any of the gods that I worship or work with, mm-hmm. I definitely like, I'll give them, like I'll put something on my altar. Like it's so cluttered right now. I have such random shit up there. But like I like to joke that sometimes things just feel like they belong up there. And I'm like, oh, well, somebody wants this, I guess. And I put it up there. Like, I have a bunch of, like, those little squishy toys. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, one time they kept ending up there. And I don't just casually put things on my altar. I, like, specifically don't put things up there because that's, like, the space for my gods. It's not my space to put things down. And I kept finding it up there. And I'm like, I guess it has
meant to be.
Yeah, it's meant to be. It has to stay here now.
Has somebody a mind wants of its it. Own. Yeah. Did your relationship with yourself and your partner's shift, like, after these surgeries? Like, was there a journey, like, kind of getting back into your body? I definitely have
noticed a shift since my gastric sleeve surgery. I've definitely noticed, I think that some of my partners also struggle with, like, self-love and seeing me, I guess, blossom after the surgery. And a lot of my health issues got kind of, not necessarily reversed, but they're a lot more under control and I'm a lot healthier and everything. I think that some of my partners struggle with it because, like, obviously they're happy for me, but also, you know, they have a little bit of FOMO. And, like, one of my partners specifically, something we related on and related to a lot together, is that we were both plus sized and we both had a lot of the same struggles. But now that I don't have those struggles, that's something that they, like, are a little sad about, that we can't relate on those things anymore. But like I said, ultimately, I know they're happy for me, but it definitely has been a factor. And I've noticed that I've lost some friends along the way, because I think that people sometimes get, you know, jealous. And
That's unfortunate. Yeah. It's still a big part of your life, though. So it's still something you're constantly having to work towards. Yeah. I mean, it's so good to hear that you have found love with yourself and that you feel in such a good place now. But I'm sure it just comes in waves, you know, like the mental health does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really hard. Like, for me recently, I actually just went through kind of a gnarly breakup.
I'm sorry.
It happens. This person specifically had just been in my life for a very, very long time. And we've broken up a few times, but we were like high school best friends. And so that's been really hard. That's unrelated to, like, my journey. We had our own issues. I still love them very much, but yeah.
Breakups can definitely bring up some, depressed feelings. And, and even now with this last week with the fires in LA, I mean, thanks for being here. I know it's been a heavy week for all of us.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a little sniffly because, like I said, I live over near UCLA and the ash is terrible. Ugh. So my allergies have been really messed up.
No worries.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a tough time. But again, like, some of those tools that you've mentioned, I think are really key in these moments of, like, sadness, is just to, tell your body or tell yourself in the mirror something that you love about yourself. I think that's such a good. Yeah.
I agree. That's always what I try to tell people. I think that that's the best place to start. Just be nice to yourself wherever you can be. Like, if you don't have anything nice to say about your appearance, like I said, being grateful for my body for what it does for me was very important. Like, when I couldn't find anything in the mirror that I wanted to compliment myself on, I thanked my body for, you know, giving me a good night's rest, or, you know, whatever.
Being able to walk to the bathroom or whatever it is, something simple. Exactly.
Yeah. Because I think that's something I also, a lot of people take for granted, like some of the normal things that you can do, some people just, like, can't do. Like, for when I was at my biggest weight, it was very hard for me to, like, pick up my shoes and put them on and tie them. And I think that people really take for granted some of the things that you can do in your body, like, when you have, when you don't have these, like, ailments and issues. I've definitely known, because I've always been a bigger person. Like, it wasn't something that happened overnight. I've always been a big girl. And since I've lost weight, I'm like, oh my God, I can move like this. I can bend this way. Like, and I think it's just something that a lot of people take for granted.
Yeah, it's a good reminder what your body can do.
Yeah.
Special.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into kind of the kinky world if you're comfortable.
Yes, absolutely.
Swaying topics. But I mean, it's all under the same umbrella, I feel like, of self-love, like you said, and self-discovery and kind of healing. So pet play, primal play, like, those are some of the main ones, I think. Age play. Yes. How did you, I guess, maybe which one did you tap into first? Did it all come at once? And how did you find?
So age play, I think, was my, like, gateway into the community. The partner I actually broke up with, or that we broke up recently, was my very first, like, introduction to the kink community. We were best friends in high school. We kind of discovered kink a little younger than we should have. And then once we were, like, 18 and adults, and we weren't together at that point, but we were in separate relationships exploring kink, like, on our own, but, like, conversing with each other and learning things. And we both started out as littles. And that was, I think that was my entry into the community.
And then when you started dating, was it just like so exciting to explore that together? Yes.
So my spouse, I've been with them for 7 years. I think they're the only one of my partners I haven't met through the kink community. We met at an old job we worked at together. And I remember I found out on accident that they were kinky, and we became friends. And yeah, I actually did not like my spouse when I met them. I hated them for really dumb reasons. And then they got invited to my house for Dungeons and Dragons, and we literally never stopped hanging out after that. I'm sorry, I derailed from the topic.
No, that's okay.
I forgot what the question was.
Age play. Yes. So could you describe kind of what that is and what you love about it?
So for me, I really like being able to like embody that headspace. It's very it's very therapeutic for me. I get to, you know, I get to be taken care of and like pretend I'm not an adult for a little bit. And I did not have the greatest relationship with my father. So it's very nice for me to be able to kind of redo some of those things in a way that is safe and I can do with my partner. And I know that they love me unconditionally and they're not judging me, and they'll take care of me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's a way for you to kind of also get out of your head and just kind of...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's also, I know a lot of people who struggle with mental health also sometimes like involuntarily like regress to a younger age mentally. And I think that's also been super helpful, like being able to allow myself to feel that way and kind of lean into it, tell my partner, hey, I'm feeling this way. Like, can I have some little time, like, you know, just color or watch cartoons or whatever. Like, yeah.
And yeah, what is that little time? I've explored recently with like a pacifier, and it feels really fun and playful.
Yeah.
But yeah, you mentioned, yeah, watching cartoons or coloring, like what kind of little space do you create?
So typically, myself, I actually really don't like coloring. It stresses me out. I want the picture to be done as soon as I start. So I don't like coloring so much, but I like activity books, like putting stickers on things. And I really like cartoons about dogs, like Bluey, Scooby-Doo, Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
I love those. I love being able to just like play with my stuffed animals and cuddle them. And I also like pacifiers. I like being able to like chew on them. I like always destroy my pacifiers.
Yeah. I love the sucking. I feel like I have an oral fixation. So like just having something that you can explore in the bedroom in a different way than like a body part is kind of fun to play with.
I agree. Definitely. I also really like the little community. That's actually how I kind of started in the kink community. I think my very first event in the kink community was actually a pet play event, but my second ever event that I went to was a kink group. Am I allowed to like say names of things and stuff?
Okay. Yeah, you can say whatever.
So the group I went to is actually called Lola Littles of Los Angeles, and I went with my ex-partner. And I literally have gone to every single event since then. And actually, the first time I went was their second ever event.
Oh, wow.
And I've been to every single one since then. And I became friends with the owners of the group. And when one of them had to move away, they actually passed the group on to me. And so I run it now with the girl that after she moved back. And I'm very fortunate for that group because that's where I started out. And I've seen a lot of people in the kink community also start out there. I was just talking about this the other day. One of my friends, it was also her first event, and I saw her at a kink event, and she's like doing pro dom stuff now. And so I think that's super cool. Like, I've always loved being able to see people start out in the community at this little bunch and find themselves, find their kinks and stuff, because that's exactly how I started. And that's why I'm super fortunate to still be running this group.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
It is such a beautiful space, the kink community itself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's a very accepting community. It's a very judgment-free community.
Definitely.
And it just makes you feel yourself. And you're also finding you're opening up and finding all these vulnerable parts of you.
Yeah.
So it can be very connecting.
Yeah. I also like the little events because it's a it's a group of littles. Like I can, I get to play with other littles. Like we get to, you know, I just went to an event where they made it Bluey themed. And so they had like a big projector playing Bluey. Oh, and we were all like sitting on the couches, like we were coloring. And in the other room, there were card games, but I never went and played card games. I just wanted to watch Bluey.
That's fun. What about pet play? Like,
so
how is that different for you? Or is it similar?
I didn't start in pet play like right away. I actually really wanted to do pet play, but I didn't quite understand it. Like I was like, so am I just supposed to bark? Like I didn't really understand it. It didn't come naturally to me with the partner I was with at the time, but it came very naturally to me with my spouse. And I like being a dog. But I also feel like I've always been like this. I literally have childhood pictures of me like playing with dog toys. And my mom has told me like I stole like the dog's treat once and tried to bite it. And it was obviously gross. Like I was a child. But I remember when like kids would play house, I was like, I'll be the dog.
Yeah.
I've always related very heavily to dogs. I love dogs so much. And so getting to embody one is fun. Like I get head scratches. I get to like do tricks for treats and, you know. One of my favorite things to do is when he's playing video games, actually, I put down a blanket on the floor and like use it like a dog bed. I just sit down there, like even with my iPad, just to draw or something. It just makes me feel like a dog being on the dog bed on the floor, like while my people are doing whatever they're doing. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. I have a friend that has a relationship with Dominatrix and he has embodies cat energy.
Okay.
And so he has like a big, I guess it's kind of more of a dog bed size for him to fit in, yeah. But like a little bowl and they kind of play with kind of that energy.
Yeah. That too. I have a dog bowl that I like to put snacks in. Like I put my Cheez-Its or goldfish or whatever in it and I snack on it throughout the day or whatever.
So is that something that is erotic in nature or is this more of like something?
I think it can be, it definitely can be. It's not inherently for me, but it definitely like it has taken that turn for me. And like I definitely do indulge in it sometimes. Like I do like doing sexual things with having a leash on and like, you know, and all of that. My age play isn't necessarily sexual, but again, it takes that turn for me sometimes. It just depends on who I'm with and how comfortable I am and what they're into and.
That comforting nature can definitely lean into the bedroom if you wanted to.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's also just like a way to feel good and
exactly.
A sweet release.
Yeah.
So puppy energy. I think that's, your Instagram, right?
Little puppy. Like I said, even outside of kink, I say I'm a dog. I'm literally a dog. Like I feel like I embody dog energy.
Love that. Thank you. It is something like, I guess, more primal play kind of, but it's similar pup play or pet play. I guess maybe that has a little bit more of a dom and sub like DS relationship to it. But it is something I've always been curious about exploring. There's times when I feel like I like to be kind of crawling around like a cat, but it's not something I've ever tapped into. Do you have any like advice for people if they want to explore these things, like where to start?
You know, that's kind of a tough one to answer because I didn't really know where to start myself. Like I said, it kind of just ended up happening. I would say, honestly, whatever animal you feel like you relate to the most, I kind of just watch the behavior of those animals. Like I definitely like my dog likes to hit people with his paw. And after we adopted him, I definitely noticed that I started doing that. Like I'd go like put my arm on my spouse, like my dog does to me. And they're like, what do you want? but yeah, I think honestly, just like kind of studying the animal that you feel like you embody the most and just cringe isn't real. Just do it. Bark, meow, like do what you want to do. Like if it makes you feel good, do it.
That is my motto. That's for damn sure. Yeah. If it makes you feel good, lean into it.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you feel like that's been kind of something you've leaned into too, going through this self-love journey and like helping you?
Definitely. I definitely think so. There's actually this event that they do every year where it's like a human pet show. And that's one of my favorite events. Like it's really fun. And something I really enjoy about pet play specifically is I don't feel necessarily it inherently has to be a power exchange. So like my partner, my master, they're also a pet. And so at the pet show, like they were my handler at the show, like they did all the things for me, but then I was also their handler because I don't necessarily need to be a dom to own a dog. Like I can still be a little like with their dog or a dog with another dog. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be a dom and sub thing. That's something I really enjoy about pet play.
Yeah, that's good to illuminate, because I do think that even when I think of it, it does seem like this power exchange.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely can be. And it's definitely fun to like have that like owner and pet dynamic, but it doesn't inherently have to be. And that's a dynamic I have with a lot of my partners. Like I identify as like their owner, but I'm not a dom by any means. But like, I definitely like one of my partners is they have a couple different pet spaces, but I think their main one is like a pig space. And that's super fun. My ex was a fox. My spouse is a wolf. Like, it's really fun. Like, seeing people embody these other animals.
Well, I feel like a lot of us, like, there's, you know, your signs, of course, but there's also these like animals that they say that you're most like or whatever. Yeah. Or you're, so it is kind of a fun way to express yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm always talking about playful energy and how incredible that is for relationships and creating long lasting relationships. So if you're just able to like be a little bit more playful and do something unique in the bedroom, like it makes you connect and learn more about each other. And
I definitely agree with that. I'm really like shy about some of my kinks. And so it's definitely like a really good bonding experience being able to talk to my partners about kinks and stuff. And I actually just had a conversation this morning with somebody that I'm in the talking stages with. And I was like, hey, I haven't asked you, are you into age play? If you're not, it's valid. But like, are you? He's like, I've never really explored it, but like, I see your little stuff. I think it's cute. And I'm like, okay.
Yay.
Yeah. So like, it's a really good way to be vulnerable, I think, being able to be open and talk to people about it. And like, obviously, if they have judgments about it, then, you know, that's you're an early red flag that you can catch, you know?
Yeah, there's, I have been trying for a while to get more age play. I did like kind of a DDLG educational episode, like almost a year ago. And so many people were like, oh my God, thank you. Like this space isn't talked about enough. And so
I agree.
Yeah, there's a lot of judgment too, you know.
I was admittedly a little afraid to talk about it because like I told my situationship, I was like, I'm really shy about it because I know that the people who like it, the people who don't really don't. Mm-hmm. And it's valid, but like, I wish that people were a little bit more open about it. They like were able to put their own biases aside and just be able to like, you know, respect. It's not your cup of tea. It's not your cup of tea. You don't need to partake in it. Like, you don't need to shame people for it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I think the diaper wearing community is what like has a lot of shame. Yes, I think.
Absolutely. I'm not super into the ABDL stuff, but it's one of those things where like I have a partner that's really into it. And so I'm not against it. So I'll do it for them and I have fun with it. Like it's really nice and immersive being able to let them put a diaper on me and like, you know, they like, you know, talk to me like a baby and, you know, and then it's just, I also kind of like the feeling of it, like it, you know, it makes me have to kind of toddle around, you know, I have like all this padding between my legs. Like it's a little more immersive, you know?
Yeah. It's like igniting your senses in a different way that we're not used to.
Yeah.
And that's why I love like rope so much and even feathers and like bringing different toys into the bedroom. Yeah. And even if you're not exploring like sexually, that's like a fun way to like tap into your body in a different way. If you're like, wearing something that you're not used to.
Yeah, I agree.
I love that.
Yeah. And like I said, it's very immersive. Like it's hard to not feel like a child when you have a giant diaper on.
Like, like it's easier to tap into that energy.
Yeah, I think so.
I love that. Yeah. I want to do a little bit more of kinky exploring this year. That was one of my new year kind of intentions for the year. We also last year we didn't have a lot of dates. Like I was focusing a lot on, creative goals.
Yeah.
And so my other thing was, you know, to explore more with my partner and you know, other people. We love to explore in group play scenarios. So do you have any kind of kinks or other things that you want to explore more of or something that you're looking forward to? Or do you feel like you're, you know what you like?
I've been kind of slowly exploring different things. I've recently really gotten more into primal play. I've always kind of been into primal play, but I didn't necessarily have like a word for it until recently. And I started learning about primal play. For me, primal play is just, it's really just like about tapping into like the animalistic nature because, you know, deep down at our roots, we're all animals. Like, mm-hmm. we all have, like, a primal, like, urge. And, like, primal play is literally something as simple as, like, I really like the way my partners smell. So I, like, mm-hmm. it's very primal for me being able just to have a t-shirt of theirs to, like, hold, like, you know, because it smells like them. And, yeah.
Yeah, sniff your partner.
Yes, absolutely. The sweatier the shirt, the better.
Yeah. I feel like that was such a telltale sign too, meeting my partner too, was just like loving the way that he smells, yes. like in yeah. all of his forms.
Yes.
I think that's really sexy. I had a guest recently who, yeah, she felt like she had this like armpit fetish. Like she was yeah. just like super into like yeah. the smell and like dirty armpits. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I'm recently kind of learning that, I totally have a hand fetish. I didn't realize it for a while. But I've had this consistent problem where when I masturbate, I can't really get myself to climax. It's just, I can, but it's not really fun. I don't really get a lot of pleasure out of it. And I've kind of discovered recently that it's because there's no hands touching me. Like, uh-huh. it's really easy for me to reach climax and have fun with partners, because it's kind of hard to have sex without their hands being on you. And so I'm definitely trying to explore that a little bit more and lean into that, because like, I like hands. Hands are cool.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. How did you figure that out? Were you just like having these thoughts with yeah, yourself? I feel like yeah.
I noticed that, like, I always try to keep my hands manicured. Like, I get really insecure when mm-hmm. my hands don't look nice. And then I noticed that I'm always paying attention to people's hands.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, one day it just kind of clicked me. I was like, I think I have a hand kink. And then I was realizing that it might be more of a fetish than a kink. Like, I'm really attracted to hands. One of the things I really like is I like how hands, like feel. Like, I always say that you can blindfold me and my partners can touch me, and I feel like I can tell exactly who it is just by their hands.
That's really neat. I love that.
We haven't tried, but I feel like I could. I think everybody's hands are so unique. Like, yeah.
And again, it's like having that sensual connection with your partner, having that like touch.
Yeah.
I feel like it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? But it does sound like something that maybe you need.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would like to try to start like exploring, like using with the intention of using hands, like as the forefront of like what mm-hmm. we're doing, instead of them just existing and being there. Like, I want to like, you know, explore like being touched in different ways, or like, you know, involving hands more.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. That's such a yeah. good idea.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's cool. Do you have your nails painted?
Yes, but I'm lost too. So like, don't look at this hand, but yes, I always get the same polish. My nail salon actually stopped carrying it. And so I bought my own, and I bring it every time, because this is like, this is my polish. This is what my hands are meant to look like.
I love it. Yeah. I always like to have manicured hands too. Yeah. I think we started exploring more photography, erotic photography, because my partner is a photographer and okay. many other creative things. But when we started dating, I really loved him taking pictures of me.
Yeah.
And I feel like taking some of those erotic pictures with when my hands aren't done, I'm just like, oh my God, they look so yes. much better when they're colorful.
I definitely had that. My spouse is also a photographer, and I really like taking, like, you know, boudoir photography with them and stuff. And there's been a few times they take pictures and I'm like, can you Photoshop nails on my hands? Like, my hands look so stumpy and weird. Like, I need nails. Or if I'm missing a nail, I'm like, can you fix that one finger? Like, it looks weird.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to do nowadays. Yeah. I don't know that yeah. world too much, but.
Yeah, me either.
And have you always been a pink lover? Like, your hair is pink? You
know, when I was a child, I actually hated pink. I was a blue girl, blue and red, but I don't know. In like sixth grade, my dad's girlfriend at the time was like, do you want to dye your hair? I have pink hair dye. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then after that, pink was my personality after that. I don't know.
Look, it looks good with your skin tone. It looks beautiful. Yeah. I used to dye my hair often pink, purple, blue, just like dip dye it in all these different colors to spice it up. But it was always like the washout kind.
Yeah.
Is yours permanent?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've dyed it a couple different colors. I think I've done like purple tips. I did red hair. I did black hair. But I always come back to pink. For a couple of years, I had to have natural colored hair for a job. But it was so like not me. And I genuinely feel like in those few years, I felt very disconnected from myself because I didn't feel like myself. And then as soon as I started dyeing my hair again, it was much easier for me to find something to complement the mirror because I liked my hair.
Yeah. And it's a way to express yourself and your personality. And it does kind of make you feel, I don't know, you seem like you're a very playful, obviously, person, and tapping into that energy. That's just like an easy thing to embody on your day to day.
I think so. I think it also like, it makes people look at me, and I think you can know my vibe just by looking at me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I noticed that about you too. When I found you, I was like, I think she would be a good guest to have on the pod.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Do you have any other advice for people kind of as we're wrapping up, just like ways to kind of go through this like journey of self-discovery and kind of tap into these new spaces? Do you have any advice of like,
I think the best advice that somebody gave me once is, like I said, cringe is dead. Like, don't let people tell you you're being cringy. Like, mm-hmm. So what? Why does it matter? Like, are you having fun? Are you hurting anybody? No? Okay. Then it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think you should be afraid of being judged. Like, if people are judging you, it's just because they're sad. Like, they don't know what makes them happy. Like, so they have to frown upon you. And I think it's very important to remember that. Like, if people are hating on you, you're obviously doing something right. Let them hate. Like,
yeah, that's good advice.
I think that's the best advice I was given, and it's stayed very true for me. I think I'm always, especially because like I run a couple of other events, and I've been in the community for a while, and so I'm always afraid of people like looking at me and judging me, and I always have to take a second and remind myself, if they judge me, like, that's just the trash taking itself out. Like I said, I was kind of afraid to talk to my situationship about age play, but I was like, if he's not into it, then I gotta nip this in the bud now. Like, if he's gonna be weird about it, like, but obviously he wasn't. He's cool. Like,
yeah. Could you ever date someone that isn't a kinky person?
I do have one partner that is a vanilla partner, but that I did not think that was something I could do.
Yeah.
I have my spouse, which is my master, and then I have my mommy dom. I don't date outside of my partner. I'm romantically monogamous, but I'll have sexual relations and kink dynamics with other people. Mm. But I have my master and my mommy dom, and then I don't really know what we are. We're kind of like,
yeah, there's a guest here with us today.
Yes, yes. We're kind of in the situationship stage where we're vetting, we're in the consideration stage. I think we're trying to figure out what we want. But it's definitely like a kink relationship in nature. And same thing with this other guy I'm talking to. I met him at a dungeon, but then I also have, like I said, my vanilla partner. He was my spouse's coworker, and we were supposed to go to a rave together, and he was like, can I admit something to you guys before we like go get this hotel together? And we're like, yeah, what's up? And he's like, so I actually like both of you. And it's so funny because I had a crush on him when I met him. And I was like, okay, he comes over to smoke all the time. I can't be crushing on my wife's coworker. He's very blatantly gay. Like, I can't be crushing on him. And then he admitted this. And I'm like, okay, well, I knew you liked my spouse, but like, you like girls?
Like, you like me?
Yeah. We were both kind of flabbergasted because my spouse is trans femme. So, but they weren't necessarily out at the time. So I was like, yeah, I can see you liking my spouse, but me? He was like, yes. And that's kind of how that happened. And I've taken him to a dungeon before, and like, he knows about our kink lifestyle. And like, whenever I get bruises or stuff from the dungeon, I like showing him. He's like, girl, you're crazy. But yeah, it's definitely not something I would, it's not something I ever would seek, but it happened, and I really, really, really value the relationship I have with him. He's really cool, and he actually moved last year, but we still like maintain a relationship. I was actually just talking to him last night, and he was sending me nudes.
Nudes are fun.
Yes.
Long distance, you need that.
Yes,
you need
definitely. That.
Yeah, I think that reminds me too of like community, right? Like even just like having that support in your relationship, even if it is a more of a vanilla one, like as long as you're able to like express how you feel and what you're interested in exploring.
It's been very helpful for me, especially going through this breakup. Like, it's really been helpful for me to be able to like consult the council and get different perspectives from different people who have, obviously, I feel like everybody's a little biased towards me because they're my partners, but like, it's been very helpful to be able to like have such a close group of people that I can trust and know so much about me and I can be unfiltered with. Like, because even like, you know, friends, like, at least for myself, I feel like my friends don't necessarily know everything about me, whereas my partners totally do. Like, I'm a pretty open book with everybody, but like, I don't necessarily divulge information about myself unless I'm asked to my friends or unless it's necessary or it comes up in conversation. Whereas my partners, I want to tell them everything about myself. Like, I want them to know everything. And so it's been super helpful having people that know me so well and care about me. And it's just been very nice. I really, really, really appreciate the support system I have from my partners.
Yeah, it makes life a little easier, you know, being able to have those vulnerable conversations and feel accepted for who you are. And when your partners are able to show you a side of yourself that you didn't really know either, or like be more intuitive because they know you so well.
That's something that I've expressed with my spouse a lot, because my spouse is really only my second relationship, like, ever. And so I didn't really get a chance, like, in high school to explore my sexuality or myself, or I didn't really date people. I was very introverted and very awkward. And so as I've learned more about myself with my spouse, like, we've talked about it, and, you know, I wanted to be able to explore these things about myself, and we opened up our relationship. Because when we started our relationship, I knew they were a polyamorous person, and at the time I was not. I did not want to be polyamorous. So we were monogamous for a long time. But we eventually opened up our relationship because I didn't think it was fair to force them into monogamy when that's not who they are. And obviously, like I said, we're romantically monogamous, and that's the boundary that I needed to be comfortable. And it's worked very well for us. And I really like that they, through their transition, because again, they were just a dude when I met them. And since we've been together, they've started their transition. And I think it's been very helpful for them also to be able to find that community elsewhere. Like, they have other queer partners that they're able to relate to in ways that I necessarily can't. Mm. And I think it's very important for them to be able to have that support. And same with me. Like, I've been able to discover a lot of things that I like that I didn't necessarily know, because it's just not something my partner and I did.
Right.
And then I'm able to come back to them and be like, hey, I did this thing with this person. Can we try?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah. That is kind of the key and the special part of having open relationships, especially if you started a relationship where you weren't like as you said, it was like your second relationship. Yeah. Like, I think I always try to say, like, explore. And it's like, well, shit, but I've been in this marriage for so long. Like, how do we explore? Yeah. And it's like, you create boundaries, you figure out what feels good. Yeah. And yeah, maybe you open your relationship in a certain dynamic or allow yourself to tap into these other little areas of play.
It definitely, like, it wasn't like a seamless transition either. Like, we definitely had some
bumps on the road.
Like, at first we opened our relationship like fully polyamorously, and we had like some romantic relationships, but they just really did not work out, and like, it just wasn't right for us. And I'm really happy with how our relationship is set up now. And I think they are too.
Yeah.
Like, obviously there's jealousy still, and like, we have our own issues, but I think it's been very important that we are able to learn and recognize that when we're jealous, it kind of stems from our own insecurities. Mm-hmm. And instead of being jealous and limiting what the other person can do, we try to get down to the root of it. Like, okay, why are you feeling this way? In what way can I make you feel more secure? And it's been very helpful for us, like, to have those open conversations and, you know, talk about things.
Yeah, it just ignites those conversations more than like a normal relationship would. Yeah. Do you still feel like it's easy, like, being with your partner? Like, I feel like sometimes you go through these tribulations and difficult times to communicate, but it still feels like you're like where you're supposed to be, and it feels
My spouse is definitely my person. Like, they're my better half. I love them with all of my heart. And it's really funny because for a long time I couldn't imagine like seeing them be with somebody else and be comfortable with that. Like, I wanted them to be mine and only mine. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they've left yet, but they're supposed to hang out with one of their partners today. And like, I love their partner. Like, the other day they came over and they were like just cuddling on the bed in front of me. And I didn't think that's something I could ever be comfortable with. But like, it really makes me happy to see them being loved by somebody else. And I like that I feel secure enough to see them be loved by somebody else and know that they're still mine and like they love me and that they're not going anywhere just because they also love somebody else. I always try to equate it to like when you have multiple children, you don't love the first child more, or like you don't love one child more than the other. So if I'm capable of loving my children in the same way, why can't I have other partners that I can love in the same way, you know? Yeah. Obviously, if you can share your love enough to have multiple children, why can't you share your love enough to have multiple partners? Mm.
So you still do fall in love with these other partners, yeah, but like it's not as much as a romantic.
Yeah. So like the boundaries we have set in place, like for me, I don't really want to, like, I share a bed with my spouse. I don't necessarily want to share a bed with anybody else or share our finances or raise my stepchild with anybody else. Mm. In that way, we don't share each other in that way. But everything else, yeah, we totally, like, I go on dates with people. Like, we have sexual relationships and kink dynamics. We just don't use... I honestly, we don't use the title boyfriend and girlfriend with other people, but that's really what it is. I just don't use it because in my opinion, boyfriend, if you're somebody's boyfriend or girlfriend, it means you're vetting for marriage. And that's not everybody's point of view. And that's fine. Like, date however you want to date. But that's just what works for us. And I feel like when you put the girlfriend or boyfriend title on it, at least for me, things get a little... the expectations change, and that's not necessarily what I want. And so that's something I talk about very heavily with people. Like I'm very transparent about what I am and I'm not comfortable with in having these other relationships. But yeah.
Yeah, you figured out what works for you and you're like owning it. I love it.
Thank you.
Well, I'd love to hear, maybe it was getting some of those nudes last night, but when was that last time you had that sweet release?
This morning.
Okay, love that. Yay. Are you comfortable sharing how, or were you exploring any kinks during or anything with my audience?
I just got out of being sick, so I've been in kind of a funk, and I've been in like a really weird depressive episode, so I've been like feeling not super sexual lately, and this morning I was just kind of like, hey, can I sit on your face?
Yes.
And then, you know.
Yeah. Yes, then the sweet release occurred,
yes,
for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Sometimes you just have to ask for what you want.
Yeah, that's something I struggle with a lot. Like, that's something I've been having to learn. I don't really like asking for things. I kind of just let things happen. But I've learned that people can't read my mind.
It's a tough lesson to, to get to. Yeah,
and so I've definitely, that's another thing. Like, I never really ask my spouse for, you know, anything specific because they know what I like. And so they do it. And they do what they know I like. And so with other people, obviously, they don't know what I like. And I've had to learn to communicate that. And it's been super helpful and beneficial in my other relationships, too, because I'm learning how to communicate better and more effectively and more directly.
Yeah, it's so true. And that's what I want for everyone, is just to feel more comfortable in themselves and feel more comfortable in those communicating, those conversations.
Yeah.
And then you're just going to lead with more vulnerability and sweetness, which is what I want in the world.
I totally agree.
Well, would you mind sharing maybe some of your groups that if people in the LA community could find or,
So awesome. I co-own Lola, Littles of Los Angeles, and we do munches, and munches are just like little potluck picnics. We have a park that we go to and we meet up and everybody brings food, and we always have like some fun little craft. Like, I always go on Pinterest and find toddler crafts. Usually I try to find something themed for the month or whatever. Like this month, I don't think we've picked our craft for this month's munch, but it's going to be winter themed.
Nice.
We usually like have our craft and like everybody hangs out and gets to know each other. That's actually how I met my mommy dom. I met them at a Lola event and we became very close very fast. And we were actually like sub siblings for a long time. Like, we didn't have a power exchange. They were my partner's sub as well. But then over time they were like, I'm not a mommy dom, but I'd like to be for you. And I'm like, okay.
That makes you feel good.
Yeah. So, that's one of the groups I run. And then there's another group that I'm starting next month. We're calling it COLA. I say we, but I'm running this one by myself. It's called COLA. It's the Critters of Los Angeles. And I plan to run it the exact same way as Lola, but for pets. Mm. Because I haven't noticed much of like a non-dungeon space community for pet players. And like I said, I really, really, really attribute a lot of... me finding myself in the kink community to Lola, because I'm very awkward when it comes to nudity. Like when I'm in the dungeon and people are naked, they're like, nice to meet you. And they're like hugging me. Like, I'm very awkward. And like, that's totally on me. That's not on them. Like, I understand that that's the environment that I'm walking into, but it's just sometimes hard for me to make those connections in the dungeon because I'm a little awkward.
I think that's probably pretty common.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, this, it's a very vanilla setting and, you know, it's just, it's a very relaxed environment and it's not like, there's not people getting their ass beat, like right behind you. Like we're all just there with the similar interest in being little and doing crafts. And so I'm hoping to do that also with Cola and create a safe space for pet players to be able to come and meet other pet players and in a vanilla setting.
Yeah, I love that. And good for you. I think it's just more of that needs to be in. I know we live in a city and I'm grateful for that, but it needs to be spread more across to the small cities too. But creating that here first is like the first step.
I agree. I also really like the dungeon communities that are out here. I know that all of them have their own drama. But honestly, the communities itself, I'm very grateful for, and I don't really care about the drama that comes with the dungeon. Like, what place is it going to have drama? Like, when you have a group of people running something, there's going to be drama somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, but over in like, I think it's Hollywood, there's Threshold that I go to, and they also have Munches. And then out in Riverside, there's Serenity Studios. And just recently, I went over to Commerce to Nirvana Studios. Those are like three of my favorite dungeons. They're all really, really cool, really open and very welcoming environments. Awesome. I think especially Serenity Studios, like you walk in there and like everybody is like a family in there. It's really cool. I really love it there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I haven't explored a lot of dungeons and more recently. It's been more like play parties.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. Thanks for those tips on some that... some of us, even my listeners, could check out.
Yeah. And like I said, like some of them have like Munches and stuff too. Like I know Threshold and Nirvana have some, or I think they all do. They all have Munches and just events. I think Serenity has like a potluck event and then they usually have a play party afterwards. And I think that was the first Serenity event I went to. Cause again, it's a good way to go be in a vanilla environment, get the vibe and then decide if you want to stay for the party afterwards. And then like, you know, they also have Littles events and stuff. Like Serenity has a Littles event. And that one is very like, I don't know if they allow play at that event. I don't remember. But like when I was there, nobody did any play. And it was just a bunch of Littles watching TV in a dungeon. But like at Nirvana Studios, they had a Littles event. And like they definitely like lean into the Dark Age play thing. And like people like play while they're little and all of that. They also, you don't have to either. But
yeah, it's nice when sometimes there's that option or even like you said, sometimes it is just like a vanilla event so you can connect and link up later. I think that's like good for.
But I know all three of them also have Munches. I just haven't gone to them very often because I don't know. I just haven't. I like my Munches.
Yeah, you got your own awesome stuff you're doing. And it's funny that all these sex events are always like potlucks. I always just laugh at that. It's I guess, it's kind of a play on the word like a munch. You're coming to play. You're coming to eat. You're coming to enjoy each other's bodies too. Munch on each other too.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Roxy, coming on and being vulnerable and opening up.
Course. I appreciate this opportunity. I've been looking forward to it. I've been very excited.
Yay. I'm glad I came across you. And
yes, I am too.
I'm grateful for you for being here.
I'm grateful for you for having me.
Oh, thank you. And sweets, be sweet to yourself. Don't forget to welcome those sweet releases and just be here and be yourself. Talk soon, guys. Thanks again, Roxy.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks so much. That was great.
Yes.